In Matthew 5:1 it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Heavenly Father, we just ask that by your Spirit, you convey the truths of this word that are so in this word, that are this word, to our hearts, to our minds, to our spirits, that we might receive all that you have for us this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's a pretty powerful bank of scriptures there, isn't it? What's going on here is Jesus has been baptized. We've heard about his genealogy and all the stuff that led to his baptism. He's gone through the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And now he is going to teach, after gleaning his disciples, he's going to teach them this message that we just read right here. And by the way, I'm just giving you a portion of this message, because this message goes on probably for several days when he was speaking it. Powerful message. Yet it seems so simple. And as I'm looking at this message, I can't help but make comparisons to things in the Old Testament. So I look at the Old Testament, and I get from Exodus 20, I get the thou shalt nots. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. And if you thou shalt not, if you not do the things you shalt not do, you're in good standing with God. But then there was a sacrificial system laid in place, because none of the thou shalt nots could be not accomplished by man. We fall short. And then we fast forward into the New Testament, and Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he's going to give them a word. It's a powerful word about who he is. Who he is, and who they and you and me need to become. It's pretty powerful, isn't it? It's the word that God has given to them so they could be like him. So he paints this picture of himself. And he starts with the word blessed. That word blessed. I sent out a lot of texts to different people over the new year. Happy new year, and I couldn't sit with happy. Happy happenings, happenstance are what create my and move my emotions. This is bigger. So we say, I say blessed. I put it in parentheses and I say blessed. Have a blessed new year. Because with blessed comes the words like joy. It has a depth to it that means something. That's what Jesus is doing here. And he's taking the Beatitudes, and I believe that he's comparing them or contrasting them to the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. He came to make a new covenant, a better covenant. He said this. He said, and he takes it from Deuteronomy, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And you heard these words coming even during the worship about loving. And it seems like, yeah, I like that covenant. All I have to do is love. And I'm good. But if I don't love right, I'm left with a, I'll say, for the lack of a better term, I'm loved with a social justice kind of love that scratches the surface. It looks good on the surface, but the depth of compassion isn't there. And people can mean well, but they don't have the depth of the love necessary to be like that of Christ. I'm so happy nobody left yet. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. When we did the Here journal that's going out today, we said that's the scripture I chose, blessed are the poor in spirit. And honestly, I chose it because it seemed like a really kind of a tricky one to deal with. How can you be blessed if you're poor in spirit? Well, I looked at the word and spirit is not capitalized, which tells me blessed are the poor in little s spirit. So that's not blessed are those in the spirit of God. That is blessed are those who are poor in my own spirit. Poor in my own spirit. In other words, there's a poverty in my spirit, but it says I'm blessed. When am I blessed? When I realize that there's a depravity in my own spirit. That's when I'm blessed, that I understand that I haven't arrived. That I understand that in my spirit, in my flesh, I can't love like I'm supposed to love. Those are great words. They're the right words. But if I'm poor in my own spirit, I can't do them to the level that's expected. Peter, do you love me? Oh, yes, Jesus, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? Oh, yeah, I love you. You know I do. He was saying, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter knew that he could not love like Jesus loved him. And then Jesus, with all fidelity and all gentleness and all tenderness, says, Peter, do you love me? Do you phileo me like a brother? And he knew. That's the kind of love that we're in apart from God. And Jesus is going to paint this picture of who he is. And he says, when you're like this, blessed are you. And he begins with poor in spirit. When I am poor in spirit, I know my need to be rich in his spirit, to be filled by his spirit. And I say this often, and I think a lot of the saints in here do. Lord Jesus, fill me. Give me a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit. What are we really saying? I'm tapped. I'm empty. I can't do it the way you do it right now because it's in my own strength. So God, you fill me. And let me expel you to the world. Let me do that. I don't want to be poor in my own spirit. I want to be rich in your spirit. In Psalm 32:2, it says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. There's no deceit in the spirit of God. And when he loves, it's pure and it's right. And I want that spirit dwelling in me. In my flesh, don't get angry at me. In my flesh dwells no good thing. And don't feel like I'm beating you up. If I am, I'm beating up mankind. You're part of a big group. Closing in on 9 billion, you're just like them. In our own flesh. But we're a little different. Because we're saved by the blood of the Lamb. And his spirit comes and dwells in this temple. He says, I'm going to live in you. I'm going to give you a little tweak every time you step out of line. It's just going to be a little, hello, McFly. It's just going to be a little bit just to say that I'm here. There's a better way. This is how I love. Blessed are the poor in spirit when they realize that they are poor in spirit. And what is theirs? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In Psalm 44, it says, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. I'm poor in spirit when I operate out of pride. I'm poor in spirit when I'm boastful. I'm poor in spirit when I think I'm something, when apart from God, I am nothing. Know where your deficiencies are. in your spiritual walk with God. People online, don't go to the fridge right now. Stay in your seats. All right? Know where you are spiritually. Where are you? Self-assess. I can't self-assess because self is in it. I can't. How do I do? Holy Spirit, reveal to me where I'm off. Show me where it's not quite where it should be. Holy Spirit, fill me and take me to where you want me to go. I want to love like God. And very honestly, I come up short. Second one is, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourn. I was just at a beautiful funeral yesterday of a guy who used to come to church here. And he's a good guy. And I see some of these characteristics in him. As people spoke and they shared about these characteristics. His name is Mike DeGrave. He's a great guy. And they started speaking of who he was. And I'm starting to see traits. We should all have that. We should all have traits where we look a little bit like Jesus and it blows people away. And that's what I saw yesterday. I ask God's blessing upon their family. But what do we mourn over? This kind of mourning isn't necessarily a grieving. This kind of mourning is a little bit different. How about I mourn over my fallen state apart from God? And I mourn for those who don't know God. In fact, I would say I grieve for them. They're in my family. They're in my family, my expanded family. They're in my church. And I mourn for that. I mourn for myself when I'm apart from God. I grieve that I'm not where I ought to be. That sounds weird and funny, but this is the kind of mourn. I mourn over my flesh because it's fallen. Now, I don't sit at my bed and say, God, I'm mourning right now over my flesh. I think you understand my point. Jesus, who mourns over their sin. I want to celebrate with joy. I don't want to be in mourning. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing. That's what I want. I want joy. I want to be blessed. Blessed is he or she who mourns. I want to see dancing. We heard about that yesterday. Dancing. Dancing how? Dancing in the spirit. Dancing when you're cleaning your kitchen. Don't mourn over having to clean your kitchen. Dance over it. Bring God into the mix of it. Celebrate. Celebrate life. I want joy. I want to get past myself. Isaiah 41 says, comfort, yes. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her. Mourn over Jerusalem right now. Why is that such a big deal? Because they haven't arrived. Some have, the Messianic Jew has, but Israel is unsaved right now. We pray for their salvation. We mourn for their current state, being apart from God. Why do we do that? Because spiritually, we're brothers and sisters with them. We're more than country allies. We're brothers and sisters. We are Jews spiritually, if you're in Christ. So mourn over your brothers and sisters who don't know who he is. I got glasses all over the place here. Jesus, thank you for that. Third one, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Who are the meek? This is a tricky term. Meek sounds like weak. Meek and weak are not synonymous terms. In fact, they're opposite terms. Meek is a quiet strength that one has when they're in Christ. Meek is having power and using that power to glorify God and not crush who you need to crush. I remember as a teacher, I was just coming into my faith and I was learning a lot of new things. And I learned just enough to know more than my peers. And I started wielding the sword like I was something. I felt like Sinbad, you know, just wielding that sword, that word of God. And crushing guys who would attempt to use it. In my flesh, I felt great. Like, I just kicked this can all the way across the cafeteria. That's not meek. That's pride. That's arrogance. That's ignorance because I didn't know anything. Meek is this, understanding where people are at. And we'll go back to love and loving them right where they're at. And speaking the truth to them. Jesus showed it when he dealt with the woman at the well. He comes to the woman of the well. And he calls her out and he confronts her in such a gentle, beautiful way. And finally he says, you are right in saying that you have no husband. You've had five husbands or four husbands, and one you're living with now is not your husband. And then he begins to speak to her about living water. He didn't judge her. He just said what she said, what she told him, and he agreed with her. And then she shared more, and he found out that, okay, he didn't find out, he knew. And he explains to her, yes, what you said here is right, but this here, you have five husbands. He didn't crush her. He wants to give her living water. He wants to love her. Yeah, but he's a holy God, and he can't be around sin. He's coming to eradicate sin in each individual's life. He's coming to take and bury sin. He's coming to carry sin. He's coming to become sin. The one who knew no sin, that he would become sin, that we could become his righteousness. And when you operate in the power, I'll call it, of meekness, pride is out. Pride is not a thing. In meekness, humility, humble strength. I have names. I just want to call these names out because they're in here, but I think I would embarrass people. And I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I have some brothers and sisters in here that I look at them and they have the sweet aroma of meekness all over them and in them. I thank God for that. I want that. I want that to be in me. And the consequence for those who are meek, they shall inherit the earth. What does that mean? Some of this is for today. Some of this is eschatology. It's for what's coming. It's for a millennial reign. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and the meek will inherit it. I think I want that kind of an inheritance. When you think, people who are exceedingly strong, demonstrating self-control. Self-denying. It's not about me. It's about them. When I love, do I love about me? Do I love to be prideful and boastful about loving? Or do I love free because I truly love and care about people like God cared about me? Jesus' name. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. This is the righteousness of God. This is not self-righteousness. There is that in the church. And if you're meek, you will understand that they haven't gotten to the place they need to get, and you'll love them, and you'll pray them, and you'll counsel them, and you'll share with them. But we don't judge them. We don't judge our brothers and sisters who are off. We don't judge people who are lost, who appear righteous but aren't righteous. No, you know what we do? We be righteous, even as he is righteous. We be righteous because he is righteous, because in us our righteousness is of no value. Filthy rags is our righteousness. But we clothe ourselves in his righteousness. Before I came out here, I prayed. I put on the spiritual armor every time before I come out here. And I put on the breastplate of righteousness. Why? Because I don't want to operate in my own. In my own, my motives are off. Everything is off. Blessed, in Psalm 119:2, it says, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek with a whole heart. Do we proceed? I can't think of the word right now. Do we go after righteousness? Do we seek it? Do we go after his righteousness? Do we desire it? Passionately go after it. And we set aside our own. Do we do that? Blessed are those who seek him with the whole heart. What does it look like? Psalm 42:1. If I could sing, I would sing. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I wish I knew the rest of the words. Some of you just wanted to keep singing. I just messed you up. I'm so sorry. But do you have that kind of a heart for God? Do you pursue that kind of righteousness? Do you pursue him like that? You will in about 3 days when this fast gets underway. And then in Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. The things that, what we do is we go the other way around. I want all those things that are added to me right now. But no, he says, no, seek me first with that passion that I'm talking to you about. Seek me, he says. Jesus. And he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Thank you, Jesus. Fifth one. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You and I should be demonstrators of mercy. And so quickly, I want to give people what I think they deserve. No. Give them mercy. The story of David and Saul, when Saul was looking to kill David. And David comes to a place where he's got him. He could finish off King Saul. And he clips off part of his cloak and he takes it with him. To let Saul know that he could have taken his life. But he opted to show mercy. That he would not hurt the Lord's anointed. He showed mercy. Did it move Saul in any direction? Not necessarily. Probably provoked him to further anger. But what does it do for our Heavenly Father? You see, when we're doing these things that we're talking about in the Beatitudes, we are becoming like Christ. This is what he has done. And this is different than following a law by what I do. This is a change in my heart. This is changing the inside man. When I can do as Christ did, do as Christ is, be as he is, be holy even as I am holy, Paul said in Peter. Be holy as he is holy, I should say. How many times do we forgive? We're talking about mercy. How many times? 7 times? No, not 7 times. I say 70 times 7. I just learned. 70 times 7, well, in my head I calculated 490 times. I got about 7 left to go and then I can be free. No. 7 to the 70th power. It's a number we can't comprehend. I should always forgive. I should always show mercy. And that's why? Because that's what Jesus did. And remember, the Beatitudes are telling us who he is. Who is he? I'm going to go back up. Who's Jesus? He's actually not poor in spirit. He's rich in spirit. All right? He mourns and he grieves. Remember, he wept over Jerusalem when he came into town. This is who Jesus is. He is meek. He is the picture of meekness. He not only hungers and thirsts for righteousness, he is righteousness. He is merciful. These are the character traits of Jesus. And they go on. They look like Galatians chapter 5. They look like the fruit of the Spirit, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. That's who Jesus looks like. And that's what these Beatitudes, if you look deeper, that's what they look like. In 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, we say it at every wedding. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is gentle. It does not boast. It does not envy. It keeps no record of wrongs. That's who Jesus is. And I love that last part. It keeps no record of wrongs. That's what he did for me. That's the agape love he showed me. He keeps no record of my wrongs. He eradicates them from me as far as the east is from the west and remembers them against me no more. We're going to take communion today as a church. And all you have to do to take communion, and this is the lesser thing, the greater thing is you'll be a child of God, is you just have to say, Lord, I am a sinner. That sin that you take as far as the east is from the west, I give it to you. Take it from me. And you be my Lord and my Savior. And if you've done that, that's salvation. I will follow you. I will try to become more like you instead of you becoming what I want you to be. Well, if you make that decision in your heart, you can take communion with us today. That's what it means to be a believer. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's the first step in becoming Christ-like. Then it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is rich. First off, we are talking about spiritual things. In the Old Testament, in the law, those were physical to-do. That was a physical to-do list or not to-do. These are spiritual things that change our hearts, our minds, our spirits, right? And he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want to see God. Well, you do, but you want to see him with spiritual eyes. You don't want to see him with these eyes because we can't handle. It would kill us. Moses went into the cleft of the rock, and the hand of God went over his face, and he had a face there, and Jesus passed by, and he sees his hind parts. Because he couldn't handle while he is in his bag of flesh to see him. Who is pure of heart? Jesus is pure of heart. We see the manifestations of God. We saw the burning bush. We see the cloud of glory that filled the temple that Moses couldn't even enter in. We see the results of an all-powerful God working through Christ as he calms the storms, as he does the miraculous things that he did. No, the best we could see was Christ in the flesh. And that was for people of that day. We only see by the Spirit. The pure in heart are those who have been cleansed by God by his Spirit. Because you've given him your sin, you said, take this from me. This is not who I am. My identity is no longer in my sin. My identity is in my Savior. I cling to him. And now I pursue him. I pursue him in righteousness. And he begins to change me. And I begin to see him in the Spirit realm. I begin to see him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the Bible tells me. So as I read his word and I begin to see who he is, I begin to see him in the fullness of who he is. Not yet. There's a scripture in Corinthians. It says, now I see dimly as in a mirror, but later I will see him fully as he is. Oh, man. You know what he's really saying there? You don't want to see him fully now because you can't handle it. You would be, the revelation of who we are as sinners would be so real to us, it would kill us. Like I said, in my flesh dwells no good thing. Why does he got to keep preaching about how I'm no good? I would say, why do you got to keep taking it so harsh? Why do you got to keep taking it so personal? Because it is personal, isn't it? But it's all of us. See, he's telling us who he is. Then it says, in Matthew 5:9, he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Peacemakers. Oh, my goodness. I want you to look at this day that we live in. Peace, peace. We're going to bring this accord together. We're going to join these nations. We're going to be one unified world. Peace, peace, peace. That is baloney. That is peace with compromise, which is not the kind of peace that God gives. Peace. The kind of peace that Jesus gives. We get it at our, when we go to some of our powerful scriptures at Christmas time. For unto us a child is born. This is Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. That looks different than the kind of peace that you hear people boasting about that we have. No, he gives us a peace that transcends all that. And where does that peace typically fall? For the believer today, it falls deep in your spirit. And what does it look like? It says, well, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed. What is that blessed? It's bigger than happy. It's deep joy. Pastor Mike, you don't understand. I just lost this very important person in my life. I get it. My heart breaks. I mourn for you. But in those people, there was joy. There was a couple hundred people here yesterday and looking at an open casket, and there's joy in them in the midst of their tears. Where does that come from? Where does that inner peace come? Yes, it hurts, and it's powerfully hard, but there is joy. There was laughter. How could there be laughter? My dad died. How could there be laughter? Because deep in me is joy. And it's not something I contrive myself. It's what he has put in me. Blessed are the peacemakers. Be about peace, but be about peace without compromise. I've watched some of our pastors. They're amazing dealing with people and how they bring peace to situations. And as they're talking to them, and the person they're talking to is going through just incredibly difficult times, and what do? They don't judge the difficult times. They're bringing peace to a soul. They're sharing truth with them. But they don't compromise the truth. They give them the whole truth. They'll say things like, that's going to destroy you. That's going to ruin you. There's something better for you. Peacemakers. Peace in your heart and in your spirit. Why? For they shall be called the sons of God. Oh, that's so powerful. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Who are they talking about? They're talking about Jesus. He's the one that brought the good news. He is the good news. And we have to follow his step. And blessed are we when we share about what he brings to the life of a person. We sing a song here that it's frankly, it's just become over this COVID time that we've lived in. It was the last service before we broke in March, but we sing that blessing. And I just love that song and the power that comes with it. But it's in Numbers 6:24. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. True peace comes from the Lord. And I love that song because it brings me to that place. 2021 is going to be different. It's going to be more of what we had and a lot more. I don't want to scare you. I'm just going to talk to you the realities of the days that we live in. The days that we live in have a likeness to me of what it talks about just before the rapture of the church. That's goofy preaching, Pastor Mike. People think you're a nut. Well, I am. I'm okay. I'm peculiar. We're living in days that precede the coming of our Savior. I really believe it. I believe it. And I can see through the move of the church, the true church, people are seeing that. Love matters more than it ever has. Peace matters more. But we have to be right before God. We have to begin to be the Sermon on the Mount. We have to be that. Why? Because that's who Christ is. Lord bless you and keep you. Lord make his face to shine upon you and bring you peace. Blessed, and I'm going to finish up with these and then we're going to do communion. It says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, Jesus was a picture of somebody who was righteous, who was persecuted. He was persecuted by Rome. He was persecuted by the spiritual leadership of Israel, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. And those who didn't buy that he was the Messiah, he was persecuted. He was persecuted to the worst degree that one could be persecuted. And if you're a follower of Christ, I hate to tell you this. Actually, I love to tell you this because it's the truth. You will be persecuted too. In this day, I can sense it more than I ever could. When I speak the name of Jesus outside of here, there is a power that is bigger than what I've experienced. Why? Because I just entered a place where I am going against that very spirit that wants to persecute me. I can feel it in the church sometimes. I know I'm going to say something that maybe you all don't want to hear, that I don't like to hear. But there's a spirit behind that. And you're going to feel it when you step out as you're called to do, as a believer in Christ. Ardeen, go to that street. Do what God has called you to do. You'll move many people. Thank you. And I need to do the same thing. And then it says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What a blessing. And then Matthew 5:11 says, blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. You are guilty of being the culture of death in the church. What was good is now being called evil. These things are happening right before our eyes. And we have a media that presents it to us. So we hear it all the time. You're judging other people. You can't stand by the truth anymore, because if you stand by the truth of what you know, you're going to be judged for it. And I say brace up for it. That's an indication that you're on the right track. Now, here's the hard part. You have to do it in love. You can't do it with a spirit of judgment. You have to share because you love them and you know what their outcome is if they don't have him. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. And then the last one here, it says in verse 12, it says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Oh, we're in great company. We're going to be persecuted like the prophets. Only if you act like a prophet and speak the truth of God's word to people who need to hear it. I know there's going to be a great outpouring in the last days. But I also know that it's going to be a true outpouring of true believers. I also know that in the last days there's going to be some who fall away. And what did they really fall away from? They fell away from an idea of God. They didn't have God in them. There's a big difference. But the time is to toughen up the church. We have to toughen up. And I don't want to say pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I've heard that phrase a lot lately. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Toughen up. Be hardened. That's a bad word. I could really use you up here, James. We have to be ready. Prepared to do what God has called us to do. And we have to be able to smile when persecution comes. I had some students when I was teaching. Man, they would get so mad at me. And I knew that when my spirit was right and I would deal with them and I could feel the rage come back at me, I would smile. Even in the midst of the chaos. I didn't like the chaos, but I would smile. Why? Because I know I gave them a truth, and I know the response they have is totally of the flesh, and they didn't know what was good for them. That's what's going to happen with us when we share the gospel with people. Or you're going to share the gospel with them with such compassion and love, with these qualities that we see in Jesus in the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount. You're going to share it with that same kind of love and compassion that it's going to have an impact on them, and it's going to change them. We can love better than they can hate. Our love will beat the hate. In Jesus' name, that's the prayer for the church. And when they call us things and revile against us for the things we believe in and say, let them do that while we're operating out of a spirit of love. And I'm saying agape. Denying myself, taking up my cross, denying myself to give them the cross and give them salvation. What a challenge, what a charge that God has given us. We're going to take communion, but before we do, I said before, the whole idea is that you would know Jesus Christ is the Lord of and your Lord and Savior, that you would know that he is the way to the Father. And we do this, one, because God asked us to do this, Jesus said it, and we're going to read the scripture up here. So if I could have our team up here. All you have to do is believe by faith that Jesus died for your sin, that he loves you unconditionally with perfect agape love, and that he wants you to be his. That means eternal life with him. Sin has no power over you. Death has no power over you. Not spiritual death. All you have to do is, I don't even know what he's saying, but I want it. Or I know what he's saying. I need it. I want it. If that's you, just slip your hand up. The whole group is going to pray for you out loud. Is there anybody here that wants to receive Jesus? I see your hand, brother. All right. Is there anybody else? Yes, sir. I see that hand. Praise God. The Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice at this. Or they rejoice that you speak out that Jesus is Lord, that you're ready to receive him. And I'm feeling pretty giddy myself. I'm no angel, but I feel pretty good about it. Can we pray together with these two that raise their hand for Jesus? Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
We know our need.
We know our need.
We are sinners apart from you.
We are sinners apart from you.
We're in need of forgiveness.
We're in need of forgiveness.
Jesus, I need forgiveness.
Jesus, I need forgiveness.
Forgive me, Lord.
Forgive me, Lord.
Take my sin.
Take my sin.
And hold it against me no more.
And hold it against me no more.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.